Well, good morning, Devin.
Good morning.
It's so good to see you today. You made it through the fog. Very good. If you're new or visiting today, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm excited about today because we have some folks who are taking an important step in our obedience to Jesus, who instructed his followers to be baptized into fellowship with him and each other. Matthew, who was one of his first followers, recorded these instructions from Jesus. Go and make followers of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do all the things I've told you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, to many folks today, it can seem kind of silly or even weird that people have to be dunked underwater to show their association and their loyalty to Jesus. They no doubt wonder why the church still bothers to perform this archaic practice. And it's a valid question, especially when you consider that baptism had a cultural significance at the time when Jesus was teaching these things. 2,000 years ago, the Jews knew that baptism was an important part of their dedication to God, specifically the ceremonial preparation of their high priest. Baptism symbolized his consecration to God's service, and it signified that his old way of living was over and a new life has begun. Everyone understood that back then. But today, we have no such cultural association in Canada, do we? So why does the church still do it? Well, the reasons I still baptize people who have chosen to follow Jesus is, first, because Jesus told me to. And that right there is enough reason all by itself. And secondly, I believe that there is a deeper spiritual reason that we just don't fully understand today in our Western way of thinking. See, the Bible shows us that there's in fact a connection between what we do physically in the physical world and what happens in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world. And I know that can sound a little mystical. But stay with me here. You see, Jesus taught about this connection, which was recorded by one, again, Matthew, who said, I will give you the keys of the holy nation of heaven. Whatever you do not allow on earth will not be allowed in heaven. Whatever you do allow on earth will have been allowed in heaven. So Jesus here is teaching, he's showing his followers that there is a connection between what they do on earth and what happens in heaven. And we can, in fact, read many instances of this taking place in the history of the Jewish people found in the Bible. Some of my favorite instances are associated with Moses, you know, the Prince of Egypt guy, God had called him to deliver the Jews from slavery to the Egyptians, right? We sang about that a bit this morning. In one instance, the Israelites were being attacked. This is after their deliverance. They were being attacked by a king called Amalek. Now, I want you to listen to what was recorded in the Bible's book of Exodus. It says, Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, that's H-U-R, in case you wondered, climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff of his hand, in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. Moses' arms, though, he's an old guy, soon become tired, and he probably wasn't Pentecostal, so they're not used to having them up there. They became tired. He could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset, And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. So you can see from this that when Moses' arms were raised, it's like heaven fought for him, fought for the people of Israel. Whether there were angels fighting, we don't know, or God just given the Israelites, you know, supernatural strength, who knows? But there's a direct correlation we can see here between what Moses did physically and what happened in the spiritual realm in the battle. In the same way, as I already said, I believe that there's a spiritual significance to baptism that we aren't able to see with our physical eyes. And one of those significant things is what I'm going to talk to you about today. Now, the early church leader named Paul makes a couple statements in his letters to the instruction that he'd written to the church that was in the Italian capital of Rome, and also in a Greek city called Corinth. These statements show how the act of baptism brings us into fellowship with Jesus and with his church. And if you've been with us through the summer, you know we've been discovering what being a real community is all about and what the Bible has to say about that. And fellowship is an important part of being a strong, healthy, effective community, because fellowship is about belonging. It's about working together, playing together, like we're going to do this afternoon, hopefully, if you want to play some ball, but also relaxing together. So if you don't want to play ball, you can at least do that one, right? It's about standing with one another, caring for one another, and sharing a united purpose. So what does Paul teach the early church then about the baptism of fellowship? Well, the first thing he says is that baptism brings us into fellowship with Jesus, right? Many of the churches that Paul wrote to were nothing more than a small group of brand new followers of Jesus. And they may have started getting together because they had actually heard Jesus maybe speaking and teaching one time and had put their faith and their trust in him as the Son of God, while others would have been convinced by maybe what those witnesses had told them about Jesus. So Paul knew that these new followers didn't necessarily understand what their new life with Jesus was all about. And he took it upon himself to instruct them through various visits and letters. Okay, if you read through Paul's letters in the Bible, it doesn't take very long to discover the significance of baptism, that was one of his favorite topics to teach on, because he mentions it in many of his letters. Here's what he wrote specifically to the church in Rome. He says, "When we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. For since we have become one with him in dying as he did, in the same way we shall be one with him by being raised to life as he was." But Paul says that when you get baptized, it brings you into union or fellowship with who Jesus is and what he did for you, right? You're symbolically associating with his death, burial, and resurrection. Just like the ancient Jewish high priest that I mentioned earlier, your baptism symbolizes your consecration to God through your faith in Jesus. It's a declaration to the spiritual realm that your old way of living is done. It's dead, it's over, and a new and an eternal life of fellowship with Jesus has begun. The second thing that Paul teaches the early church about the baptism of fellowship is that baptism not only brings you into fellowship with Jesus, but it brings you into fellowship with his church, right? In the Bible, you can find four metaphors or word pictures that are used to describe the church. It's a fellowship, which we're looking at today. It's a flock, which was Jesus' favorite term to call his followers. It's a family of faith, which is my favorite. We're a family of faith and a body, specifically the body of Christ. Now, each of these identify different distinguishing features of who the church is and how we're to associate with each other, right? In his church, or pardon me, in his letter to the Corinthian church, Paul explains how the church is a fellowship of members, right? Just like the different members of our bodies. He says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles. That's anybody who's not a Jew. Some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So here, Paul says we're all different, right? But baptism symbolizes our fellowship together as one body, the church of Jesus, the anointed one of God, which is what the Greek word Christos, where we get Christ from, actually means, the anointed one. And in his letter, Paul goes on to express how, as members of the same body, we all need each other. Because we all have different abilities to accomplish different roles in the body, right? In other words, whatever you're good at, you ought to be doing, right? You ought to be doing in the body, in the church. If you're good at singing, you ought to be in the music ministry. If you're good with children, you ought to be in the children's ministry. If you're good at organizing, I could use some help in my office. I'll take your name down later, okay? Because we are a body. Each of us have specific abilities and roles to perform that are different than others. Let me give you an example. Did you elect your hand to be the hand? Anybody? Did you have that conversation with your hand? Okay, no hands. Good. Hands aren't working. Okay. Anyways, your hand is a hand because it can do hand things, right? It can pick and flick. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Going along with that thought, did you elect your nose? No. Your nose is a nose because it can smell, right? It smells. Now, granted, some of you, your feet smell. And some of you, your nose runs. So some of you are definitely built upside down. Now, the point is, I know, they get worse, folks. Just stick around. The point is, what you're gifted at, that's your part in the body of Jesus Christ. Paul explained it like this to the Roman church. Just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Remember earlier that I said fellowship is about belonging? This is where I got that from, in case you're wondering. Paul says that being in fellowship together is about belonging. Baptism brings us into fellowship together, where you belong to me and I belong to you. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there is a huge battle for belonging going on in our world today. Everyone wants to feel like they belong, but rather than celebrating what we do have in common, people are falling into the lies propagated by evil that are causing division, causing destruction all around the world. But while the darkness of the world is trying to force us to take sides, the church is to be a shining beacon of everyone actually belongs together under the banner of Christ. Paul explained it like this in his letter to the church that was in Ephesus. He said, Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Folks, it's our baptism into Christ through his death, burial, resurrection that brings us into true fellowship together. The hostility that used to separate us has been broken. It was nailed to the cross. It is dead and it is gone. We are now one with Jesus and one with each other. That is what baptism is all about. It's saying, I'm on the side of Jesus. I belong to him. I'm in fellowship with him and his church. We are on the same team. We're on the same side. His people are my people. We are all in the same family, and we all belong together, and we welcome everyone to join us. But if you've never accepted Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, you've never turned away from doing things your own way, living your own life, and actually let him lead your life, then you will not experience that fellowship of peace that he does. You can't have peace with God, nor peace with the people around you, without the Prince of Peace, the Ruler of Peace, Jesus, the King of Peace inside of us, inside of you. In a moment, we're going to baptize those who have made that decision, that commitment, to live in fellowship with Jesus, to follow him and live out his purpose for their lives. And if you'd like to do this as well, there is room in the tank. Now, I'm not sure if we've found, I should maybe first check and make sure we found the extra bathing suits. Got some suits and towels. I saw them here before, but I didn't see them yesterday, so. Maybe talk to me before you go back there. If you want to get wet, that's fine. But there is room in the tank. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, that's the first step. Baptism does not save you. Only Jesus, faith in him, giving your life to him, what saves us for eternity, folks. If you want to do that, you can do that right now. I'll help you by leading you in a brief prayer, and you can follow along silently, and God will hear you and receive you into fellowship with him. He'll wipe away all the wrong you've ever done and give you a new life forever with him. Then you're welcome, if it works out, to be baptized today or another time. And you can just simply wait until the next time if you don't feel you have the stuff together for that. But that's okay. But either way, don't wait. Don't wait to give your life to Jesus. If you want to do it today, as we all bow our heads together, you just do that with me. You can just pray along silently with me. Just echo these words from your heart, and God will receive you into his body, into his body, the church, into his forever family. Just pray, Father God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been pretty much doing things my own way and not really even giving you much thought in my life, and I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me and make me right with you. Give me peace with you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to show me the only way to God. So right now I ask him to become the leader of my life. I want to be in fellowship with you, Lord. Thank you for saving me and accepting me as your child. Please help me to find my place in your church family, so I can experience true fellowship, not only with you, but with them too. And please help me to share what you've done in my life today. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.